Hello, and welcome to the pilot broadcast of Medieval Me, your podcast for medieval history. We are here in RDG Communication Studio number 1A, overlooking the beautiful rolling hills of northeastern Oklahoma. And for this pilot episode, it's going to be just a little bit different than ones in the future. This morning, we are actually going to introduce and get to know our show host, who recently returned to the United States after living for a while in an actual place that existed in medieval times. That place would be Cambridge, England. I now present to you the lovely, talented, and historically intelligent Wendy Jordan. Hello, Wendy.
Hello, it's nice to be here.
It is great to have you as our show host. So let's let our audience get to know just a little bit about you. Bachelor's degree in history from the University of Oklahoma, and you've recently completed and passed all coursework and submitted a master's thesis for a master's degree in archaeology from Cambridge University in the UK. Let's get to know you a little bit and find out why the interest in Europe and medieval history.
So my interest in European history started when I was about 9 or 10 years old when the movie The Other Boleyn Girl came out. It was the film adaptation of a historical fiction novel by Philippa Gregory. The film stars Natalie Portman and Scarlett Johansson. But it's about the Boleyn sisters who lived in Tudor England. Anne Boleyn was the wife of Henry VIII, and Mary Boleyn, her sister, was the former mistress of Henry VIII. And it's a fictional novel just kind of about their life. And the story itself made me interested in knowing the real history of the Tudors. And it's a good jumping off point into getting a deep dive into this era and this region and history.
So that's really interesting. I mean, most kids grow up watching Disney cartoons. They see Cinderella, they see Sleeping Beauty, they kind of see that time period, and most want to be a princess. But for you, even at 9 years old, it was not Disney, but The Other Boleyn Girl.
That's true. I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved Disney and I love my castles and my princesses and everything like that in between. It's all just wonderful to me. It's something I'm very, very interested in. But yes, the Other Boleyn Girl was the starting point of actual history inquiry.
Okay, so that got you kind of started interested in history and in medieval history and medieval Europe, especially England history, right off the bat. What are some interesting things you've learned about this time period that you're going to be sharing over the course of these episodes coming up?
My supervisor at the University of Oklahoma very well summed this up by saying that this era in region in history is just a big soap opera. Everyone loves a good melodramatic soap opera, but these are real soap opera-esque stories. Some of them you can't even believe, the kinds of things people did, the kind of events that happened. And it's just such an interesting thing to learn about and to know, yes, it's real, because truth is stranger than fiction.
So give us just a little taste of what one of these interesting stories would be that you'll share.
I mean, you have instances, obviously, of wives overthrowing their kingly husbands and taking essentially the throne for themselves by installing puppets. You have just intermarriage all over the place, people being involved like the Other Boleyn Girl sisters, one being the queen, one being the mistress, everything in between.
So there's a lot of movies that have been made about this time period. You've got, I'm just thinking, besides The Other Boleyn Girl, you've got Robin Hood would be one. You've got a recent series that was wildly popular called The Game of Thrones. How true to life are those things to what actually happened?
It depends on what you're looking at. Obviously, historical fiction has an air of fictitious elements to it or embellishments, but they're usually including real historical figures or events. Something more like The Game of Thrones is an evocation of history, not an imitation. There's people, characters, events, places that are inspired by historical elements, but nobody is supposed to have actually existed. It is a fictional world.
And what about, like, for example, the story of Robin Hood? Now, you lived in Cambridge. There really was a Nottingham.
Yes.
That was close by. I assume they had a sheriff. How true to life is some of those tales and legends? Did they actually happen?
When you're looking more at legendary figures like your Robin Hood, your King Arthur, those, again, they're legends. There's stories about them, but there's no evidence that these people were real people. they might have been, they might not have been. It's legendary. When we talk about history, you've got to look at documents. You have to look at people who really existed. But then there is stories of people who may or may not have existed. And those are still fun to talk about. They're still fun to talk about the history, one, of the people and their stories. And then it's also fun to talk about the history of how people in the era reacted to the legends around them and what they thought of these legendary figures.
That would be quite interesting to know, I think. And, you know, being someone who kind of likes to trace family history, and I have family that actually does go back to this time period in those areas, it's just kind of interesting to think about that they lived in this time period that we're actually seeing played out in the time period that we actually read about.
Yes, very much so.
Okay, so one of the things that you studied while an undergraduate student at OU that was talking about the real live people that actually did exist, it was a project you did for the University of Oklahoma Library Systems. And from what I understand, it actually won an award. Is that right?
Yes, it did. It won the Best Student Project at the OU Creaties, which is awards given out every year by the University of Oklahoma to projects submitted by their students and faculty and staff.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about this project? Had to do a lot with the queens of medieval England?
Yes, obviously unsurprising considering my introduction and telling you why I got into medieval history. The project itself spans the lives of medieval queens, starting with William the Conqueror's wife in 1066 and spanning all the way to Henry VII's wife. I didn't include Henry VIII because he had six wives and I just decided that all six of them would be too much work for me.
That's a lot for a senior history project to complete.
Exactly, yes. So I stopped with Henry VII, not including the eight wives of Henry VIII. And basically, it was just a biography project on all of the queens. Some queens have more written on them academically than others, but obviously, for the most part, things tend to focus on the king, and the queen is usually an afterthought. Again, there are some exceptions of very popular queens, but some queens, you hardly ever hear of them, and I just wanted a site dedicated to them.
That's really an interesting idea, especially in this time period of equality. You're going back and you're just looking back at history and making the queens kind of equal and important, because they were an important part of the story, and some
Absolutely.
Of them were the story at yes. times, weren't they?
Like, speaking of, one of the most famous and well-known queens that a lot of people would know, her name is Eleanor of Aquitaine, and you were talking about Robin Hood earlier. Well, the story of Robin Hood with King John and his brother Richard is a way. Now, those are real people. King John was real, and Richard was real, and their mother was Eleanor of Aquitaine. And so she's one of the queens on this website. She's one of the queens I talk about. And she probably is one of the most well-known ones from this era. But just for an example, that's how it all ties together.
Okay. And I actually went and checked out the site. It's quite intense. There is a lot of information. If you are a high school student or an undergraduate college student, and you're looking for some medieval historical facts for a research paper or something, this is a site that you could actually go to and help kind of enhance your paper and your research a little bit, because there you have got a lot of information there. I noticed there was timelines and biography pages and even maps of locations of the modern day and what the maps were like in the Middle Ages.
Yes. So the map was in particular a bit of a technical difficulty thing to make, but one of the things I ended up being the most proud of, because it does have an overlay map of the medieval map plus the modern one. And all the locations on there include locations of birth, burial, and marriage for all of the queens.
So you really got the birth dates, like you said, the marriage dates, and you kind of show a family tree with the relationships between the different families and how they kind of crisscrossed a lot. And that kind of played a role in politics too, didn't it?
Absolutely, especially when you get into the War of the Roses, which again is kind of where the evocation of Game of Thrones comes from. It all impacts everything in cultural history.
Okay. Anyone who is interested in finding it can go to just Google University of Oklahoma Libraries and look for, do a search for Jordan Project, or you can go straight in by typing Jordan, that's J-O-R-D-A-N, Project, .oucreate.com. Again, that's Jordan Project, oucreate.com. One last question about this before we move on. What about King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table? True or fiction?
I kind of brought this up a little bit ahead of time. Sorry to jump the gun on your question for me, but it's just in the same vein as other legends, Legend of Troy, the other things that we're not sure. More legendary than any historical document, but the legends are there, the stories are there.
I recently read an article where they actually found a sword in a stone, for example. And I just think that some of that stuff is really interesting to see maybe how some of those legends and stories got started.
Exactly. It's always fun to find the origin of the legend.
Okay. For the next segment, though, let's move on to the master's degree. Let's talk about life in Cambridge, United Kingdom. Now, I've been privileged to visit Cambridge, a fascinating place. The buildings, the old churches, the old cemeteries, you know, they're not, when we think olden times in the United States, we're talking 200-300 years ago, but over there, we're talking centuries ago. I mean, I was actually on a little tour on the Cambridge campus, this little boat tour, and one of the items on the tour that they pointed out was a road that was built by the Romans in the year 63 AD. And that road still exists there within the confines of the university. And Cambridge is an interesting town because the university is kind of spread all over the town, the buildings and everything. But some of those buildings I saw, they actually existed during these time periods. Mm-hmm. Some of the people that you will be talking about and that we read and study about in history walked those grounds. I just want to know, how did it feel living there, going to school there, and walking some of those same grounds and entering some of those same buildings that these people walked and studied in?
It was amazing. It was a big privilege for me, especially as someone who's a procurer of history, who's a learner of history, studier of history, whatever you want to call it. That's part of the main reason I really looked for a university in the United Kingdom is I wanted to be where I was studying. I wanted to be around the location that I was interested in pursuing. And the University of Cambridge, like you said, in particular, it's one of the oldest universities, and there's just so much history just around it in general. I think it's something that people from the United States, they don't really think about, but people from the United Kingdom, they know, like, oh, I walk around and there's 13th century buildings around me. No big deal, because I'm used to it. And it's such a new thing for America, because we are such a young country, to go somewhere that is older. And it's just such a almost overwhelming feeling when you grow up from a place that existed in 1776, essentially, is when it became a nation. And you go somewhere where they have, like you said, Roman roads that go back to 63. It's amazing.
Well, it was just fascinating. For example, you said you studied archaeology. Well, it just so happened I can remember being at the archaeology building, and I can remember seeing a cornerstone that was etched that talked about the cornerstone of that building was laid in something like the year 1043 or something like that. And I'm standing there thinking, we are standing here 1,000 years later. Mm-hmm. Did those people that day have any clue that somebody from across this huge ocean would get there through the air and be standing there looking at that cornerstone that they were laying 1,000 years before? It's really kind of awe-inspiring, isn't it?
It is, especially when you think, obviously, Cambridge has been updated to have electricity, modern security, and you think about these old stones, people that originally made these huge wooden doors between hundreds of years ago and not as many hundreds of years ago, and they would have had no idea, like, what is a light? What do you mean you're going to have electricity in my building? They couldn't have fathomed it.
Well, it's really interesting. And you talked about the doors. They just look like what you see in the movies, these old, big, thick wooden castle doors. I mean, I could almost see like arrows or something being shot into them, or stones being thrown at them, trying to get them broke down. But they were so thick and wooden, and I'm sure they were just like the doors that were put up 1,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. Okay. When someone thinks about the medieval time period, England often comes to mind first, but there were other countries in Europe and Scandinavia that played a big role during that era. You want to talk a little bit about those countries?
Yes. So obviously a lot of my emphasis was placed on England, just because that's where my initial interest got started with English kings and queens. But I did expand and study a lot more of Europe, but my master's project was focused in Scandinavia. I do have a big interest in the people of Scandinavia, Old Norse and Nordic things. Any particular questions about it for me?
Well, I did get a sneak peek of your master's thesis that got submitted. And it was really interesting because you were talking about these indigenous people called the Sami people.
Yes.
And you talked a lot about their metalwork. Really interesting in some of the things that they found. I guess you found research where there was some old coins that they found. They used different metalwork for trade with some. Is this kind of the Viking era? Were these people Vikings or were they more more traders?
These people were definitely not Vikings. They are a very interesting group because their status as indigenous people is something that has been contested. It's something that's questioned. It's a whole lot of really things that have to do with political, cultural, ethnographic history and issues today. So I encourage anyone that's ever interested, if you've never even heard of the Sami, it's definitely something to look into their status as a populace. But they're a very interesting people. They live in the northernmost part of Fennoscandia, which is the region that includes Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Russia. And they are completely separate from the Eastern Europeans. They are completely separate from the Vikings. They are their own people. They lived mostly nomadic lives for a long time, but then they also were reindeer herders, fishermen. And yeah, my master's project was on metal objects found in Sami contexts.
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, we talk a lot in the United States about our indigenous people, the Native Americans and the Alaska Natives, but you don't really think about the indigenous people of Europe or Scandinavia. And I think that was one thing that you really touched on with this project.
Yeah, it's just a different group of people.
So you talked about them being reindeer herders. Are we talking like the Disney cartoon Frozen?
So the Sami were consulted and they're heavily in the Frozen 2. I haven't seen Frozen 2 yet, but I need to. The group of people that are in Frozen 2 that seem, for lack of a better word, indigenous, they are based on the Sami, and the Sami were consulted and influenced the project. They were used for the design and the cultural history.
Oh, wow. So Disney actually consulted with the Sami people.
Yes, they did for Frozen 2, yeah.
Oh, that's really neat. So there you have it, parents. If you have a child in elementary school, middle school, that likes the movie Frozen, and they want to learn some extra credit, you can have them go check out about the Sami people and do a little Frozen research project on their own there, couldn't you?
Yes, and I will interject here. It will come up, I'm sure, later about the kind of topics we'll talk about in the future, but I also have a big interest in media, so film and television. So one of the big aspects that I will use to play a part in this podcast will be discussing movies and TV that relate to the topic at hand.
Oh, that would be quite interesting. And I think you mentioned, too, that, of course, you're a music enthusiast, and so you were going to try to talk to some music majors about the music of the period as well.
Yes, definitely.
Wendy, it sounds like this is going to be a very interesting podcast series, and we welcome you aboard as our host. We look forward to this upcoming series. If you're interested in medieval history, especially Europe and Scandinavia, this is going to be your place to come. Right here. Wendy, thank you for joining us and letting us take this first pilot episode to learn just a little bit more about you. We look forward to hearing your future podcast on medieval history. And we want to thank our audience for listening today. We encourage you to come back often right here at Medieval Me and join us each episode as we open the doors of medieval history right here on Medieval Me. Until next time, keep exploring and keep crusading. And join us right here on Medieval Me.